This is the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. Nathan Ruggles here with you. Thanks so much for joining us here today. I'd like to extend thanks out to the Teamsters as well as the Pennsylvania AFL-CIO for their support for this program. Also, as a note, we are on Patreon. You can check us out there at patreon.com/theunionedge. Again, that's patreon.com/theunionedge. It's our pleasure to have back with us now on the line with Workers Independent News, Frank Emspeg. Frank, thanks for joining us.
Well, it's good to be there or here, wherever. I'm here in the chilly Midwest, and I guess going to be chillier in Pittsburgh, too, in a couple of days, if it isn't already. Anyway,
that's right. Winter's finally arriving.
Yes, winter is. Well, and the winter of our discontent is arriving, too, as long as you look at this Capitol. And it's pretty bizarre there where the Republicans are passing, a tax bill on the way to the Senate. And what's extraordinary is this massive focus on taxes and cut the taxes for the middle class, whoever they are.
Yes.
And what is the pressure? Why is this happening, you know? Because when you cut taxes in the way that the Republicans are talking about, first of all, it's the wealthiest that get the biggest tax cut. But what's the pressure here? One way to increase your income, you know, your what we call disposable income, what people have to spend, is if they pay fewer taxes, I think. Now, the fact that people will spend more on education, on transportation, on drugs, or whatever else, is not so clear to everybody. Because when you take away one prop, you know, you got to fix it with something else. But in any event, the Republicans talk about taxes as being a big problem. Well, I want to talk about the other end, wages. Because if people aren't earning any money, one way that people think they can get more is by paying less, right? And you have a little bit more cash.
Yes.
Well, here's the story with the wage business. Because it's basically extraordinarily important to understand that between 1950, when many, many people, you know, were working, born, the industry looked like it was going to be around forever, every year people earn more what we call real disposable income. In other words, they earn more than inflation, and wages basically went up.
Yes.
And you could see it. People had houses. People got cars. People got boats. People got a camp, you know.
That's right.
And sent their kids to college. So since 1980, 1979 to be more specific, the lowest wage earners, the lowest 10%, which is an awful lot of people, suffered a 5% loss in real wages. In other words, wages went down.
You're saying since 1979.
That's right. Less they're working harder. They're working as many hours.
That's right.
But what their money buys is less than it was in 1979.
And they're more productive as well. Absolutely, they've been working.
Yeah,
hard,
that's
more
right. That's right. They're producing more wealth and earning less. For the middle wage people, that is people in the 50 percentile, right in the middle, they're over 30 years now. They have gained 6%. In other words, practically nothing. When you think about the price of cigarettes between 1979 and 19 today, you can see where 6% is, right? Used to be 33 cents, now it's $4. So clearly 6% doesn't do very much. But for the people who earn the highest wage, the top 5% wage earners in the country, and these wages are often not just, you know, because you're going to work in the supermarket, right? Their wages went up 41%. So what you've seen is a shift up, a cut at the bottom, and hence people are struggling.
So the top 41% rise in earnings among those in the top
5%. In other words, if you're earning $400,000 a year, which is about the top 5% or $300,000, somewhere in there, you got a 41% increase in your real income between 1980 or 1979 and today.
So the gains in wealth have been going to, I mean, this reconfirms something we've heard about, the top 10, the top 1, or in this case, the top 5% is getting the gains.
But it was also reflected in wages. It isn't just stocks. So that's sort of interesting. What it means is that the top lawyers, the stockbrokers, the hedge fund managers, the hospital administrators, all these people are getting more money relative to everybody else. And you can see it if you're in Pittsburgh. It's supposed to be this Renaissance city. You got all these universities there now. take a look at the wage structure of the administrators versus the teachers, and you can see it. So what that does, what this kind of information does, that's what drives the anger for people who say, I want lower taxes. I can't take this. I got to have more money. Because you can either get money from your boss, right? And as union members, union membership falls and we're not able to arrest that money that we need, or you can get it, you hope, by paying fewer taxes.
Is this idea
going to work?
Yeah, is this idea of cutting taxes or those who are advocating these deep tax cuts, are they appealing to kind of the fear, the desperation of working families who have not seen their earnings either flat or go down over the last 30 years? They're desperate to see some more money coming in. They're appealing
to
them with this idea of tax cuts or tax relief, you know, as if it's pain that we have to relieve from rather than our obligation.
And in this particular bundle, what they've got, though, which is even worse, they're making that appeal, you know, on TV, radio, every place else, you know, they would put a sun on the moon if they could.
Sure.
But by getting rid of things like the mortgage tax deduction, which most poor people have, a lot of people have houses in this country, you know, more than half, you know, a lot of them are paying a mortgage, you can deduct the interest from your taxes.
That's right.
That's disappearing here.
That's right. It would be one thing to kind of reduce it, because, you know, by allowing all of the interest, even for the wealthiest among us with multimillion-dollar homes, to write off their entire, you know, mortgage interest is a big giveaway to the rich. So addressing that is one thing, but taking it away for people, you know, a working class homeowner who's just trying to make their mortgage every month and put food on the table is an entirely different story.
Well, I'm thinking of a place like Lynn, Massachusetts, where we used to live when we bought our house there.
Okay.
We lived in it. It was a three-family house. We had to fix the whole thing up, work day and night to do this, right?
Sure.
But that mortgage tax deduction made the difference. We could afford
Absolutely.
To do it.
Absolutely.
And what you're talking about here are not people building mansions. We're talking about people buying their single-family house or two- or three-family house, living in it, working in it.
That's right.
You know, and that deduction can make the difference.
It's critical.
So here you're talking about tax cuts and putting a knife in the back here. You know, so that's the other thing that's going on. There's deception. And there's a fundamental problem. Wages have to rise in this country, or poverty and everything else will increase. And kids will not be able to go to college. People will not be able to have decent housing. And, of course, the next thing on the block is the Medicare stuff. We all see this. What's in the Republican tax plan? Get rid of Obamacare. Why? Premiums are going up. That's the excuse. Of course, 13 million people won't have health insurance.
Well, the premiums would be going up anyway, just even worse.
That's correct.
Right?
That is correct. So this is a complete deception and fake.
Well, I appreciate you bringing it.
If you took the defense budget increase and put it for health care premiums, they'd be free.
You know, I think it's a really important point you're making here today with us, Frank, is that as much as we do need tax fairness, right, and not, you know, we're not talking tax cuts for the wealthy, rather, but tax fairness, we cannot neglect this whole idea that you're talking about, that wages are such a key to prosperity for low income, for working class, for middle class folks across the board.
Right. Right.
And they haven't been seeing it.
That's right. Wages have gone down or stagnated, and that's in lockstep, incidentally, with the destruction of the trade union movement. The one fundamental thing that has changed over this course of many years has been the percentage of people in unions. And as that's gone down, wages have stagnated. It isn't the goodwill of the management here. It's the ability of working people to get together and demand what's due to them. And as that
That's
has
right.
been undercut, the whole economic structure of the country has been undercut.
All right. Well, that's a great final point for us, Frank, and that will have to do it. We really appreciate you coming on the program here today.
And thank you very much. Take it easy.
Oh, you too as well, Bye-bye. Frank. Thanks so much. That's with Workers Independent News. That's Frank Emsbach here with us on the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.